Either way, he brought a clearer perspective, saying, I'm ready to give my life. The prophet was warning, you're going to be harmed. And his perspective was harmed. I'm ready to give all. I'm ready to give my life. And of course, that was relative to the calling that was on Paul's life. That wasn't the call that was on everybody's life. It was on Paul's life. Amen. That's good perspective. Book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16 and 13, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? Perspective. What is your perspective? Who do you say that I am? He's asking his disciples. And Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. What is your perspective? Who do you say that I am? And they start repeating what everybody else thinks. They start recalling everybody else's perspective. Well, some say this, and some say that, some say that. And then all at once, Simon says, you're the Christ. And Peter says, that wasn't a natural statement. That didn't come from your intellect. That didn't come from your understanding. There was a spiritual intervention. My Father, which is the Spirit, hath told this to you. Or it was revealed to you by spiritual revelation. Okay? This is pre-receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is pre-Calvary. This is during the ministry of the man Christ Jesus. But a natural man received a spiritual revelation, and the lights came on. Eyes were opened. He could see something that the natural man could not see. The natural man identifies with the natural. The spiritual man identifies with that which is spiritual. And I believe it was Paul that in some of his writings said, you know, the carnal mind can't understand spiritual things. And so people can be carnally minded. In other words, their process all is in the natural ability and the concepts of their mind. And, of course, that's predicated often on what it's been fed or the windshield that it looks out through, the windshield being the experiences of their past, which is the vantage point of what they see, and those are the kind of things that would come out of their mouth. But again, simple point. Peter received a revelation, a spiritual revealing, to understand something about this man that was standing in front of them. The Christ term literally meaning the anointed one. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. There was spiritual calling upon him, even though he was standing there in the natural realm. He was God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Some would refer to him as the God-man. I would call him the God in man. I like the scripture. He was God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He didn't go looking for another to help him. He robed himself. That eternal spirit, Hebrews refers to it as the veil of flesh. In the Old Testament tabernacle, when the Holy Ghost dwelt over the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, that was the holiest of holies, but it was referred to in the holy place. And within the holy place, a priest had to enter into that, pressing through the veil. And some of the writers declared or referred to the robe of flesh, the veil of flesh, okay? Because you can't see spirit. Spirit doesn't bleed. But he came to be and to give his life a ransom in the way of blood sacrifice. He was the propitiation for our sins. Amen. A spirit can't do that. In his spirit nature, he can't accomplish that. He had to become incarnate in a body. Right? But he was a spirit robed in flesh. And so when Peter made the reference, because all of a sudden the lights come on and the Spirit of God by a spiritual act opened his eyes, gave him some understanding, and he opened his mouth. You're the Christ. Okay? Now, let's go to Mark chapter 5 at verse 22. By the way, I understand it to be one of the greatest revelations in the Word of God. To me, one of the most, well, the most important doctrine is to have the teaching and the understanding, make it a study of God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Oftentimes there were those that would question who he was, and he hid himself a lot. There were times when he did the miraculous, he would say, keep that to yourself. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. He even told demons that would declare out who he was, and he'd say, shut up. Don't say it. Don't tell nobody. For his purpose, for his reasons. But there were times where he declared to a group of Pharisees that he said, if you don't believe who I am, you'll die in your sins. So it's an important doctrine or teaching, and to gain the understanding of what we call the oneness of God. We don't teach a Trinity. We don't use the term Trinity because it's not a word that's in the scripture. But we don't teach three deities. We teach one. Just as the Old Testament Jew, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. All right? And it's important to have that understanding, especially when you go to him in prayer. I was in a Yakima County jail one time. We had to earn our way in to have services there. And so I had to go with another group for like 6 months. And one time I was in there with a group, and the guy that was leading the group, he was finishing up. You know, I just, mum's the word, just sit there and don't say nothing. And he starts praying to the Father. He prayed a little while to the Father, and then he paused. And then he started praying to the Son. And I thought, I have heard of this. I've never witnessed this. And after a while, he got done praying to the Son. He paused. He started praying to the Holy Ghost. And I could tell he don't know which one he's praying to. He doesn't know what. He's just sending it out there. Hopeful. Hopeful. I'd heard about that. I'd never witnessed it. When you go to God, when you begin to speak out the name Jesus, you have both the Father and the Son, according to the Scripture. Okay, that's a sidetrack. Mark 5 and 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much of the people followed him and thronged him. Now, Jairus had the perspective that this man that stood before him, being the man Christ Jesus, had the ability, if he could just lay hands on his daughter, she would be healed. So he identified with his deity. He identified with his power. He didn't just identify with his humanity. Skipping down to verse 35, because Jesus was interrupted in his journey and Jairus' daughter died. Okay? He said, I'll go, let's go. But he got interrupted. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Took a little bit of time for that situation to play out. And in the meantime, Jairus' daughter died. And Jairus had believed. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus had heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he came, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Jairus identified with his spirituality and his deity, his divinity. These people only identified with his humanity. And so they couldn't receive the words that he had spoken, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, entered in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which means, being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. They were astonished with a great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded something should be given to her to eat. And let's roll right over into chapter 6 at verse 1 and continue the reading. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. His disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Isn't that the carpenter kid? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. Are not his sisters here with us? And all they can identify with is his humanity. First, something gives them a clue. He opened his mouth when he started speaking. The wisdom and the words that was coming out of this mouth. And then they looked with their natural eye and they said, "That's the carpenter. That's the carpenter kid. That's the son of Mary and Joseph. And, you know his brother. You know his sisters." And all they can do is identify with his humanity. And they can't identify with his divinity, his power. And Jesus said unto them at verse 4, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." Other places, he could do the miraculous. He could speak the word. Healing went forth. Devils went out. But at home, where they knew him, "Oh, that's the carpenter kid. We know this guy." And scripture says, he who was omnipotent couldn't do anything there. Because their perspective was only for his humanity, and they were unable to see the miraculous that dwelled within the man. Now, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. I think this is at Luke chapter 4 at verse 14. I think this is just another account of the same situation. I was unsure, but I want to read it to you because it points to a couple of different things. Luke 4 and 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. There went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book. He gave it again to the minister. He sat down. And all the eyes, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Isn't that Joseph's kid?" Something registered. Something told them, "Wow." And all of their eyes are looking at him. Maybe they look back at one another. "Man." That's one of those times when you do that. You say, "Man." Like, can you believe that? But as they look closer with their natural eye, they said, That's Joe's boy. We know him. And all dunamis was in him. Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. The all in all, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, in the man Christ Jesus, stood before them. But because of their perspective, all they saw was his humanity. Oh, there was an indicator. Wow, there's something different here. But, oh yes, that's Joe's boy. So how important is perspective? It's important. When I came into the church receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, having been baptized in Jesus' name and begin to attend and listen here, receive the ministry of men, one of them being Brother Leslie, my pastor. Boy, you know, after a while, I thought, wow, this has got to be the wisest man in the world. Because the things that flowed through him, see, that I identified with spiritually, I just was convinced. He has got to be the wisest man. I made that comment one time to Bruce Meadows, and he said, oh, there's a few others. But my understanding was limited because that was my only place. That's where I went. That's where I received the Word of God. And there were a few times when, even through the mouth of Gary Meadows, powerful things were spoken. Spiritual utterances that, wow, just fed my spirit to the place that I knew that at any given night I could go to church on a Sunday night. I could go and it wouldn't matter who was speaking because I know I was going to hear one who would speak to me. And I would identify with the anointing and the spiritual ministry that flowed through them. So I could get my answers from God. Okay? My confidence in that concept only continued to grow until it became interrupted. There were times when I probably got too close. One time I was sitting at the kitchen table at their old house down there in Union Gap, and Brother Leslie and I were talking, and he said, hey, listen to this tape. He plugged his tape in, turned it on, the old cassette tapes, you know. And so I'm sitting there at his kitchen table, and I don't know what he'd been doing, probably working hard, but anyway, pretty soon I'm listening to the tape, and I hear this. And he was sitting right there, and he was sleeping and snoring. And I sat there listening to the whole tape. And when the tape ended, and we would continue to talk and converse, and I begin to see his human side. You know, he'd have something really good to eat and let out a belch. There were some things that I saw because I had gotten too close, that I saw him more and more from the human element, that I wondered at times that it may have decreased. You know, his use of words, his mastery of the English language was something to behold. He referred to those as windles. I can't remember all the words, but man, there was a list of words that you just knew. You knew what he was talking about. Oh, they were inaccurate, believe me. But it didn't really matter. But it would cause myself, and I suppose maybe others more so, they begin to see him as just simply a man, as they were, and it began to discount the ministry that flowed through the man. There's such a thing as becoming too familiar and too comfortable that a person could begin to lose the prophet in their life. Let's go to Acts 28. At verse 1. Ready? When they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and they received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. The barbarous people that lived on this island thought because of these visitors that had come to the island that it began to rain and feed their crops, and you know, all of a sudden these natural blessings begin to flow, and so they thought, these are special people. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live. This guy's bad news, man. He shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen up or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they looked a great while and saw no harm come on him, they changed their minds and said, he was a god. You know, that's kind of the way it is. People's perspectives can change that quickly. You know, first, boy, these guys are special. Second, no, they're murderers. Well, pretty soon, oh, they're gods. I've prayed for people, and they told me, oh, when you laid hands on me, that's when it happened. You know, this miraculous healing took place in my body, and oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, sure. Okay, great. 2 weeks later, hey, I got to talk to you about something. What? What? One minute you're a god, the next minute you're a devil. Perspective. Pray with me. Father, help me to maintain a right perspective, a proper perspective. Help us to identify the Spirit of God flowing through the lives of men for our benefit, for our edification, for your purpose, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance. The apostles at times begin to hear and receive the praises of men because of the miraculous that was operating in their life. And they had to stop people and say, hey, whoa, 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 don't do that. You get me in trouble with God. You know, they couldn't receive that the way it was being given. But at the same token, there's times when there's almost got to be a maintained distance to preserve the ministry of the office in a man's life or a woman's life. We should hold men in regard. We should hold ministries in regard because of the ministry that flows through them. But we also should have an understanding. Well, they're humans. They're men. They're humanity. They're just like, they need sleep. They got to eat. They got to brush your teeth once in a while. You know? And so we have to balance that perspective because we want to be able to hear and receive from God and not let it be interrupted by humanity. And so we need to have a healthy awe, not towards a man, but the ministry that operates and flows through a man. Now, I've had some conversations lately that's kind of made me uncomfortable. Somebody's sharing with me, yeah, you know, they're starting to call me this or they're starting to call me that, and you know, and I can see their head going, their eyes kind of gloss over like, let me clear that up for you right now. Humanity is susceptible to that. This is why we keep this in proper perspective and in balance. We're not worshipers of men. We are worshipers of God. We don't worship preachers. We worship God. Sometimes we make a reference to somebody as a man of God or a woman of God. And I've seen where people have heard that one time from somebody and they start referring to themselves wherever they go. I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God. Great, great. Let me see if you bleed. Give me your hand. There's got to be a healthy perspective and balance in our lives, in whatever facet of involvement that we have. Amen. I don't know when it happened, but somewhere in the, you know, the span, I think I started saying things more like, you know what, I was wrong. In other words, admitting my humanity or, you know, my let's just call it. You know, the scripture says, we're not perfect, no, not one. We're not sinless until we're washed in the blood. But, of course, that doesn't mean we'll never, you know, sin until the Lord comes. I remember a time when, boy, if you ever said to somebody, you know, in a body of believers, you know, scripture says there's none sinless. It's like, wait. No, you're not talking about me. Okay, we're getting lost here. Let's pray. Let's pray. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Deep understanding, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Believers should not fear to admit their faults and their weaknesses. Believers. Okay. I have heard believers talking to others in attempt to persuade that would give you the idea that they don't do any wrong, that they could do no wrong. Believers, and almost out of a fear that you may see some speck of, there's a problem, there's something wrong. Let me help you with that. Let's pray specifically for that right now. Let me have no fear in my life, Father. In the name of Jesus, that my witness be effective. That my witness be effective. That my witness be effective. In the name of Jesus, that I don't try to paint a picture of perfection that others could never live up to anyway. That's what the Pharisees did. It's a Pharisaical spirit. Let me have no fear to be real. An open book. An open book. In Jesus' name. All right, I want to read this, just this one more setting. We see the several areas or the many times where, because of people's perspective of the man Christ Jesus, it limited him it limited what he could do among them. Didn't limit him. He's unlimited. But it limited what he could do among them, for them, because of their perspective. It shut things down. It didn't matter how great the need was. It was their perspective alone that drove the situation where he was shut down. He couldn't do anything. So, pack it up, boys. Let's go. Next town. Next town. Oh, the healed, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing. All because different perspective, different people. People received him for who he was. Okay. I want to show you the contrast here of how people begin to see and perceive his apostles in many places. Just men who'd been filled with the Holy Ghost, had the call of God on their lives. These weren't the man Christ Jesus anymore. These were the guys that were the fishermen, you know, the guys that were following them around, watching, listening, doubting, questioning. They were faithless. They were full of unbelief. Just read it. He would rebuke them for their unbelief. The very ones that he left the gospel with. Yet there was a conversion experience, and as they began to walk with God, there was an operation of ministry that flowed through their lives as people began to hear them and receive them. You know, I don't remember which one it was, but one of them wrote and said, if you receive our word, or if you'll hear us, you can hear from God. But if you won't hear us, you can't hear from God. That's how important it was, their perspective of receiving what they brought in the way of the word of God. Now, this is Peter and the believers. Oh, Acts 5 and 14, sorry. Acts 5 and 14. 14, 15, 16. Believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. I don't see this as an instruction. I don't see this as a directive. I see it as a description. The people begin to have so much faith in the ministries that were operating through these men that they said, come on, kids, come on, here, pick up the, help me pick up the bed. Get him, let's get him. He can't walk. And they would bring him out, and they would just lay him, knowing he's passing by this way, that at the least, my understanding of a shadow is the sun being on the other side and casting the shadow just walking by. There, it doesn't say, look, somebody, if they could just get Peter in the house, if they could just get him to lay hands on me. Oh, come on, put it on Facebook. Get the whole world praying for this situation. No. I got a confidence. If we'll just get our baby near, they're passing by, that just the shadow passing across that man that they'd be healed. I got the hair standing up on the back of my head. It's the only place it grows, but the perspective. My grandfather had cancer of the esophagus. He'd been to the doctor and they told him, you probably got about 6 months. He went down, bought an Airstream trailer, put it behind the Oldsmobile. Him and Grandma were going to go out and travel till he died. I don't know who it was, my mother, my aunt, my grandmother, but somebody said, let's get him on a plane and let's take him down to this meeting down in Arizona. They're praying for people down there. Let's get him down there. And so they all met and put Grandpa on an airplane and got on the plane with him. And they flew down to Arizona. They went to this Coliseum, and when they got to the gates, it was full. They couldn't get inside. So they returned to the airport, and they flew home. And my grandfather went back to the doctor, and his cancer was gone. I read a story in the Bible about four guys taking a guy up on a roof and lowering him down. And the Bible says because of their faith, not the man with the need, but those that packed him up on the roof and began to lower him down, thinking somehow if we could just get him in the house, God will touch him. He'll heal them. The expectation, the perspective of men and the ministries that flow through men, how God operates in the earth, can make all the difference on the circumstances when you get home. Would you stand with me? Is it possible that even when I go to prayer about the desperations and the situations that are close to me, that I can go to prayer with a confidence, that I can go to prayer in a level of faith, that He's going to meet me there, and that when I begin to communicate the woes and the sorrows and the things that I'm concerned about, Is there something that can tip? Is there a level of expectancy and my perspective of God? He says, yes, I'll move. So many times when there were those that approached the man Christ Jesus with very, very difficult situations, he'd say, do you believe I can do this? And they'd say, yes. And he'd say, I will. Do you believe that I can do this? I need this. I need this. I need help with this. I need you to touch this situation. Do you believe I can do it? Do you believe I can do it? Somehow he's got a meter that he reads. He reads something in us that says your complete faith and trust is in him. And it tips the scale. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? Feel a witness in the Holy Ghost. If somebody will embrace this, your tomorrow morning's prayer meeting will change. Light will come into the dark circumstances that you're dealing with. Let's pray again. Come on. Me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Touch my perspective. Change my perspective, oh God. Let it not be relegated to my past history or experiences, but let it be according to faith. Let your word breathe faith into my heart and my spirit tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. Come on, in the name of Jesus, let faith rise up. Faith, rise up. Come on, let faith rise up. It's got to be quickened in you. Come on, let it push off the doubt. Let it push past the question. Let faith rise up now in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's nothing untouchable from him. Nothing untouchable by him. Only believe, he said. Come on, only believe. Just believe. Don't listen to their words. Just believe me. Just believe. Just believe. That situation's not dead. It's just sleeping. It's just sleeping. So you've got a situation. You've got a situation. Bring it up here, would you? Bring your situation up here. And stand before the Lord with your situation. Come on, bring it up. Bring it up. Faith is elevated here. Come on. And you're going to pray in faith and speak at that thing. Speak to it. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Between you and him. Come on. Speak to it. Speak
Kialamando Yosia la Matahaya. Lima Luria Kiatahana Yea. Ikurita. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. Just pray in the spirit. Just pray in the spirit. Look right at that thing and pray in the spirit. Come on, in the name of Jesus, he wants to touch it. He wants to minister to that situation. Jesus, he to your Romando. Come on, I know you're waiting. I know you're waiting on him. Jesus, come on, let him give you the courage. Let him give you the courage to bring that thing up here to the front right here. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Give me the courage, Lord. Give me the courage, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I've already addressed it so many times. Come on, let him give you the courage right now. Come on, let him give you the courage. Let him give you the courage. Keep waiting. Keep waiting. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Come on, he's greater, greater. He's greater than the greatest. He's mightier than the mightiest. He's all in all. He's all in all. He's everything. Believe he can do this? He says yes. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. thankful for faith, Lord. The faith that your word brings to us, oh God. Let your living word be sustained in our mouths, I pray, Lord. That which you have quickened, that which you have quickened to pray. Let it be sustained in our mouths. Let our faith increase. Jesus, our confidence, our trust. Knowing that you care. Knowing that you care. Every detail. You care. You're concerned. You watch. We're thankful for this, Lord. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
Which is the same pedal, I guess. And she said